American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, July 20th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. Rand Media is taking a big stand. We're taking a tree stand for free speech today. Just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my sexy, chic, new, and improved live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio 306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. Extreme Radio Tampa? Tampa? No, it's Extreme Radio Tampa. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, including the ways that Wagga War suggested, which was next time the FBI tries to blast out a cult from their complex, replace the AC/DC rock music CD they play with Newsreel, and that way you'll have me yelling at all the cultists inside the Gold Star bases. Oh, was that a Scientology reference? Yes, I think it was. Let's get into the feedback. We got three pieces of feedback, which I can read to you. But the first one says, "Dear Sean, I just have to correct you." Good. I love being corrected because that way it shows that I am accountable to the listener. "I just wanted to correct you on your coverage on the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas hot coffee mob. It is in the game, the hot coffee mob. This is the hot coffee mob is the one where, you know, chicks get all naked and stuff like that. Now, you know, Hillary Clinton is like, oh my God, the kids can see boobies, ban everything. So that's what the hot coffee mod's all about. It is in the game code. You can use Action Replay, think old school Game Shark, and you can unlock it on the PS2, so it's in the code. However, it still doesn't matter, because you have to have an Action Replay to know the gajillion digit code. I think it's a bit over the top, because you have to be 17 to buy the game, and at 17, you can go to the theater and see titties, and so how is this different? If you are over the age of 7 these days, you can see the most hardcore porn on the internet, so this point is moot. And that's from the Boon, which is true, and, you know, realistically, sometimes you would think to yourself, well, you know, should these kids be looking at such hardcore porn over the web? But then you think to yourself, well, you know, is it really doing damage? Is sex really doing damage? If kids watch people having sex, is that doing damage? Or is kids watching guys blow each other apart with shotguns, which is more damaging? Fucking shotguns. You know, what's it going to be? Sex? You know, blowjobs? Or body parts? Blowjobs, body parts. You know, I personally think that it's probably the body part, you know, eviscerations, you know, total emoliation of bad guys. I think all that's probably worse than watching some guy get a Hummer. That's just me, though. Hey, Sean, that game you were trying to think of is called Kingpin. Yeah, that's a video game. Remember that video game I was talking about the other day? It's a game where you start and you're in an alleyway and you got shit kicked and blah, 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 and you're like totally this thug and you just kind of, the whole game is how to be a piece of shit. Yeah, it's called Kingpin. It rocked. And I love it how it had Cypress Hill on the soundtrack. Kingpin 2 is currently in the works. So if you just didn't have enough of being a thuggy piece of shit running around beating people to death with a pipe, yes, Kingpin 2 is in the makes. In response to the whole Grand Theft Auto story, lots of response on this. It's funny, because I'm online a shit ton daily and a hardcore gamer, so I'm always looking for trainers, patches, mods, etc. I just bought Grand Theft Auto San Andreas last week, and I didn't even know about this mod until Newsreel sometime last week or so. I'm telling people about these mods. The way I look at this, all this negative press is informing the average Joe Schmo gamer, young and old, about this horrible quote-unquote mod. Even my father heard about this one on the local news. So now, because of all this buzz, I believe more people are actually acquiring the mod. Well, of course they are. Maybe someone should submit a kind of report about Newsreel, stressing the negativity and threats you could pose by getting to the youth, etc. This could be your ticket into the conversations at the dinner table in every household that hears about it. Mwahaha! Just a thought, back to work. And that's from the Caps Locker. Well, you know, on one front, you know, there's that whole, you know, there's no such thing as bad press, just as long as you spell my name right, la la la. But on the other side of that coin, there's the whole fact that I do not really relish the idea of going to jail. Not that I'm not willing to go to jail. I am willing to do that. I will fight the good fight. I'm bad if you back me into a corner. I've got this problem where, you know, if one guy says I'm wrong, I'll say, I don't care what you think. And if two people say I'm wrong, I respond with the strength of, like, two people saying, I don't care what you think. So if you put me in a room and there's, like, a billion people going, Sean, you suck, I'll be like, whatever, I don't care. It's like, you know, I don't know what you call that. Maybe adversity syndrome or something, I don't know. But I get a little tenacious, you know, I really will. I'm one of those guys who wouldn't really spit the mea culpa out. You know, that's probably dumb. That's probably dumb. I mean, there's all... If you know, a guy gets arrested. Let's say some guy... Let's say I. Okay, let's say some guy doing a newsreel show. Let's say I get arrested, and if I was hauled into the FBI, and, you know, they kept me awake for days on end and shining lights in my face and blah, 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 fucking with the food, not giving me a proper diet, took my glasses away. You know, eventually you're going to crack. You know, eventually you're going to be like a little glibbering ball of goo. That is what happens when you are put into psychological trauma. I mean, eventually, you fold. That's just the way it is. So, you know, there's no sense trying to play tough because I know what my limits are, and I'd give myself maybe 3-4 days of constant abuse before I'd probably crack. But, and that's not good. You know, there's guys out there who can take like 4 months of that shit before they crack. Like, look at Nelson Mandela. He did like, what, 27 years or something like that in an African prison? Yeah, that's like a whole new scale of hardcore. So, you know, I don't really think I'd ever be able to go that far, but I'd like to think that at least I could hold on to some ideals and try to, you know, sort of not completely sell out. That's one of the reasons why I delete all of my email. Like, I never keep records. I never keep anything that anybody sends me. Files, data, whatever. I put it in my bookmarks. There's nothing trackable so that if ever I do get grabbed and they decide they're going to vilify all my contacts and everything like that, they really got nothing, and I don't remember. This is one of the another reason why I try not to remember people's emails or who sends me what, because that way I'm not lying. I get it from the web. You know, it's kind of a funny way of having security, but that way it alleviates a lot of the need for encryption. If I just delete everything and I don't keep anything, I don't need to store anything, so therefore encryption becomes moot. Dear Sean, just listen to your comment about the trackball mouse. Now, trackball mice rule all. They own Zors. Okay. I have to say right now that my wife and I were both having problems with our wrists. I had it for a while, but as my wife used the CPU more and more, she started having the same problem. So I decided to go out and get a trackball after one of the Counter-Strike people at work praised it. Aha! See? First-person shooter crowd. Well, I went down to my local parts/family-owned shop and picked up a wireless mouse for $30. It was cheap because they didn't have wired ones left. Ah. Anyways, the point of all this is that both our wrists have come back to us and we're not having problems anymore. It's been quite a while now, and I still don't think I'll ever go back to the mouse again. It takes some getting used to, but I found it much easier to edit photographs with. For some advice for all the WOGs out there, these babies will save your wrists in the long run. Just thought you'd like to hear some feedback, and that was from Stuart. Stuart! Okay, Stewie. Well, here's the score, man. I have been online for about 6 years. Well, I mean, I don't know. You tell me. I mean, look at all the shit we've done on Rant Radio and all the editing and audio editing I do. It's all done with a trackball mouse, baby. Save the thumb. You know, seriously. And my whole logic behind it is the less... I'm looking for a mouse. Now, if I was to get a mouse keyboard combination, I would probably get a set of data hands. I don't know if you've ever seen these things. They're like these weird receptacles that you put your hands into, and every finger has four keys close to it, and apparently you can like ramp the fuck out of your typing speed, like just sick typing speed. You're almost doing like Ghost in the Shell levels of typing, but instead of, you know, having to split your fingers into little tentacles or whatever, you just kind of put them inside these glove things. But it's expensive. It's like $1,000 for this crazy keyboard glove thing. But I've oftentimes thought to myself, you know, if I could get that happening, if I could get one of those things, then I could, you know, I could. That's all I need to put out more books. Well, that's just an excuse, actually. I'm just looking for a reason to get some cool tech. But hey, make sure you look after your wrists and stuff like that. And I can emphatically say that, you know, after using a trackball for 6 years, the wrists have no problems whatsoever. Well, not from the trackball, anyway. Anyway... News in listeners' license news sent to me by Dark Nature. You gotta know that this is just, you know, another After Now prophecy coming to being. Teenagers are to be issued with government smart cards that will offer them a range of attractive discounts. Did I call this or what? But will raise suspicions that they're being given ID cards under another name. The cards will guarantee price-cut admissions to public facilities and may even let them buy CDs. High street stores may be encouraged to offer discounts to young people using the card. Conversely, sanctions will be implemented against those teenagers who are deemed to misbehave. This is the listener's license. The smart card will be the most eye-catching item in the government's long-delayed green paper on youth to be published tomorrow. It was originally due to come out in October 2004. Margaret Hodge, who was the children's minister until the election in May, is believed to have favored an emphasis on improving youth services without threatening teenagers with sanctions. The new children's minister, Beverly Hughes, who was forced to resign from Home Office in 2004 after unintentionally misleading Parliament over visa fraud, was heavily involved in rewriting the paper to bring us into line with Tony Blair's campaign to end antisocial behavior and instill respect. Wow. But a senior government figure insisted that the teenage smart cards were not a junior version of the compulsory ID cards that the government plans to introduce for every adult. No, they're not. They're a listener's license, which is brought in to make youth not able to, you know, achieve media. That's exactly what this is. I know, because I made the fucking thing up. The green paper is part of what one insider called the soft side of the campaign against antisocial behavior, also known as the carrot and the stick. Do not get one of these things. Avoid these things. These things are bad fucking news. It is based on the premise that teenagers will stay out of trouble if there's plenty for them to do, and they're in a position to choose how to fill their time. Because if they fill their time wrong, we'll take away that, and then soon they will lose all of their abilities to go to any movies, and we'll accept them at Rant Radio so that we can give them all the stuff they want for free. New smart cards, based on schemes successfully introduced in London, Wiltshire, and parts of Scotland, will provide teenagers with a series of incentives. Okay, this is sick and weird. I'm not even going to need to go off on what why this is bad. If you haven't heard the first couple episodes of After Now, please go listen to that, because I called this a year ago. In rat news, yes, Shai Halud sends us the inside score from inside the realm of the Red Pant Weasel. Yes, Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney have had the addition of finger scanning technology at the entrances to Walt Disney World theme parks for all visitors, and that, of course, has caused concern among the privacy advocates. Welcome to the happiest place on earth. Turn to the right, turn to the left. Tourists visiting Disney Themes Park in Central Florida must now provide their index and middle finger to be scanned before entering the front gates. I'll give you my middle finger, pal, before we go through the front gates. The scans were formerly for season pass holders, but now everyone must provide their fingers. They've reported being phased out in all. They've been phased in for all ticket holders during the past 6 months, according to a report. Disney officials said the scans help keep track of who is using legitimate tickets. Now, this is fantastic. You ready for this spin here? It is technology reminiscent of Mission Impossible or James Bond. So it's like spies. Isn't this cool? It's like James Bond, and now you're like James Bond going to Disneyland. Nice fucking try. This is what Jessica Sanchez says, you dirty Sanchez. It works by scanning ridges and structures of your index finger and middle finger called your finger geometry. Ooh, isn't that nice? Let's pretend I'm not mentally retarded and I know what a fingerprint is. Disney officials said the finger scans do not take an actual fingerprint. Oh, I see. The scan recognizes certain points and outlines a visitor's finger, officials said. Critics of the new scanning technology do not agree with Disney and say the scans border on a violation of privacy. I don't think they border on a violation of privacy. I think they are a violation of privacy, considering Disney is part of the big MPAA, very concerned. I think it's a step in the wrong direction, Civil Liberties Union spokesman Gary Crossley said. I think it's a step towards a collection of personal information on people regardless of what Disney says. Yes, absolutely, Crossley said. They'll be looking into the scans. I bet they will. The collecting of this fingertip information and how it is to be used and what the source is of that information as it relates to what it will show. I don't like it, and we will look into it, Crossley said. The finger scanning began earlier this year at some parks before expanding to the entire complex, according to the report. Now, on this, there comes a point when we all have to sit back and we have to realize, okay, is privacy fucking dead? Okay, is it, you know, and why are we having a problem with this? You know, I'd like to get some feedback on this. I would. I'd send me in some stuff. Now, there's one camp who'd say, fuck it. You know what? I'm not doing anything illegal. Okay, so I don't have anything to worry about. So go ahead. Lock in all this shit. You know, lock me down. Print me. Fucking put cameras in my house. I don't care. I'm not doing anything illegal. And if it makes me safer, who gives a shit? Now, there's that whole school of thought. You know, this is the Ghost in the Shell, Appleseed sort of society. You know, where you've got Big Brother maintaining all surveillance and all computer equipment, blah, 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 blah. But I guess my concern is that anything that the government says then is illegal, they can just enforce whim laws where they can show up at your house, find something they think is subversive, and throw you in jail for no reason. So it's essentially the government has ultimate power. Well, when you think about it, doesn't the government have ultimate power right now anyway? I mean, maybe I'm fighting a losing battle here because, you know, after all, I am, you know, running this independent news media show and I'm trying to, you know, do stuff, get information out there. But you can kind of look at it and see, you know, well, Sean, if you're not like, you know, a weirdo or some kind of criminal, why would you care about all these cameras? Well, there's a lot of reports been written in on that and there's a lot of longer stuff. But I'd like to hear from you. So if you would tell me why you have a problem so we can get it out. So it's not just, you know, always me ranting and raving over here on the microphone. If you want to tell me in like a paragraph, maybe two, of, you know, why you think all this these fingerprinting and the loss of ID, why you think this is a bad problem, you let me know. Newsreel@rantradio.com. Now, moving into some body mod news. This is hot. Sent in by Skyburst. Science fiction author. God, I love it when they start off with science fiction stories. Philip K. Dick stories have been used in more movies than any other writer. So I guess Philip K. Dick stories are the shit. Blade Runner, Total Recall, and Paycheck all derive from his stories. Scientists are now taking a page out of his books. In the 1964 novel, The Three Stigmata of Palmer Eldritch, never read it, people could actually get more brains if they wanted to be smarter. The procedure is called E-therapy, was performed to increase the size of their brains. The man's head remained, the man's head reminded Nat of a, okay, I must have fucked up something here because there's something going on. But anyway, someday soon, you may wish to be brainier, and according to researchers at MIT, a single gene and its growth-promoting proteins, CpG15, may be used to develop therapies for renewing damaged or diseased brain tissue. Now, this means that we have the ability to repair and add more brain. There's a fire in my soul, and the only thing that will put it out is more brain. CpG15 is one of the few molecules shown to be essential for survival of specific stem cell populations in the developing brain, researchers' report said. CpG15 allows the progenitor of pool cells to expand, and even modest changes in the size of progenitor pool during its exponential growth phase can drastically affect the size and shape of the cortex. So essentially, this, you know, the CpG15 is the shit. Overexpressing CpG15 in rats gives them bigger brains. These enlarged brains have grooves and furrows like evolved mammalian brains with larger surface areas. Wow, so this is yet more secret of NIM news. In another recent study performed at Harvard, the beta-carotene gene in selected mice was engineered to exhibit increased activity. The mouse brains grew almost double to its usual size. The cerebral cortex, seat of intellectual language, became more like a human. Now, this kind of technology means that very, very soon we may be seeing a whole new level of nootropic enhancers, like steroids for the mind. Wouldn't that be something? I don't know if I'd want to mess around with this. I at that level, it's like psychotropics, you know, or psychedelics or anything else like that. You know, you're fucking with your BIOS over here. Not too sure I'd want to really mess with that. Don't really know what the long-term effects are going to be. So, yeah, I would advise being, you know, a little cautious with this kind of shit. But, you know, it's interesting to know about because, after all, we are only as good as our drugs and technology make us. Now, moving into temporal news. From Skyburst again, one of the major difficulties in traveling backwards in time has just been solved. Oh, really? According to an Israeli theoretical physicist. Now, theoretical physics is one of those fields, but this is time travel, so, you know, I'll read it out here. And the solution, he says, is donut-shaped. I love it when they dumb it down to this level. You know, trips in time have been theoretically possible ever since Einstein worked out that heavy masses can warp both time and space, and that objects traveling close to the speed of light tend to experience the passage of time more slowly. Moving forwards in time is therefore easy. Certain short-lived amount of cosmic particles, for example, can be seen on Earth. Their journey looks to us as if it has taken thousands of years, but the particle feels as though it whipped across space in just a few minutes and arrived on Earth before it had time to decay. In effect, the particle has traveled into the future, living beyond its years. Wow. But getting back to the past is a bit more problematic. Researchers thought you would need to do all kinds of strange things to do this, including a neutron star, which we now know to exist, wormholes, which we don't know if whether or not they exist, but, you know, no one really is sure, and we're in this really, you know, this whole theoretical picture of the universe thing, okay? You know, like wormholes and dark matter and deep space and the construct of reality and the Big Bang Theory and all that shit. Okay, if you take all of the radiological, like radio telescope data, okay, all the energy that has fallen on all the radio telescopes since the beginning of radio telescopetry, or whatever the hell they call it, okay, if you were to take all of that energy that has hit those radio telescopes from external sources and all that signal noise, everything, and you were to combine it all together on one big energy block, okay, a cigarette cherry ash falling 3 feet has more energy than all the radiological data that we've had fall on this planet since the beginning of radio telescopic, you know, invention. Now, I got that. That's not from me. I got that from Terrence McKenna, one of his speeches. He's a pretty clever guy. He's got all kinds of doctorates and letters after his name. And his whole point was that, well, you know, that's a pretty flimsy data sample to be basing your model of the universe on. So realistically, yeah, you know, Einstein's the shit and Stephen Hawking's a smart guy. There's a lot of people out there, but, you know, they're only as good as their data sample, really. I mean, they're making some pretty good speculations here. We got the Hubble up there. They're shooting out. They're getting some more information. I know all this. I'm just talking about the radio telescopetry here. But there is a chance that, you know, we could be completely and totally wrong. So don't get all your backs all up. You know, I'm not saying the Mudhutters are right and, you know, it's all God, but, you know, we may not have everything sorted out. It's okay to say I don't know. But anyway, back to time travel. This is where Amos Ori, that's his name, from Technion, the Israel Institute of Technology in Haifa, comes in. He said, according to Einstein's theory, space can be twisted enough to create a local gravity field that looks like a donut of some arbitrary size. The gravitational field lines circle around outside this donut, so the space and time are both tightly curved back on themselves. Crucially, this does away with the need for any other hypothetical exotic matter. Although it is difficult to describe what this would look like or be in real life, Ori said the mathematics reveal that every period of time between when the donut was created and the present moment would be somewhere within the vacuum inside the donut. All you need to work out is how to get there. Donut. Now, time travel. There's a movie I saw the other day called Primer. I don't know if you had a chance to check this film out. It's pretty nosebleed. You have to watch it like 3 times just to figure out what the hell's going on. But it's about time travel. Pretty dark stuff, but very well made. You know, it's made on like a super small budget. Very, very clever. A lot of guys put it together. So if you get a chance to acquire the film Primer, make sure you check that out. Because it's a pretty interesting film, and it talks about almost this exact thing, I think. But again, my gray matter is not such that I like to spend a lot of time thinking about time travel. Because, you know, well, it makes my head hurt. Anyway, in child cynic news. Now, this, to me, is proof of what you want to talk about, the damage that advertising has done to our young people. This is it in a nutshell right here. As a generally cynical society, we tend to assume that only innocent minds worth cherishing are those of children. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody else is just absolutely corrupted. However, that idyllic thought could be dashed to pieces because as early as the first or second grade, children can show definite signs they're gaining lifelong skill of taking some information they hear with a grain of salt. Yale University researchers Candace Mills and Frank Keel explored the development of cynicism in children. This is why children are getting upset of being lied to. They found that children as young as 7 exhibit reluctance to accept the spoken words as truth. Yes, because as we start manipulating more and more people, the truth is being lost, and children are starting to believe that there's no such thing as truth, which is wrong. There is truth, it's just they're being denied access to it. These findings are reported in the May 2005 issue of Psychological Science, a journal of the American Psychological Society, in an article entitled The Development of Cynicism. A group of children ranging from age 5 to 11 years heard stories in which people in different contexts made statements that they were either congruent with or counter to their own self-interest about the outcome of an event. After hearing the people's statements, the children were asked to rate what it extent they believed each statement and how they judged those that were revealed to be as false. By age children, the seven were able to recognize and discount statements that were clearly aligned with the self-interest of the speaker. In some situations, seven-year-olds exhibit more cynicism than older children. The 7 to 11-year-olds couldn't grasp the idea that someone's bias could be accidental. Consequently, they believe that all false statements made in self-interest were lies, and that all those made against self-interest were mistakes. Before age 7, children were shown to be relatively gullible, believing most self-interest motivated statements to be true. Now, the fact that this study was done, was this a study done to show at what age you need, you like prior to the age of 7, you can tell kids whatever through a TV screen and they'll believe it? Because that's what this tells me. This looks like yet more psychological testing to make sure that you can get the mind share of the young people when, you know, you really need to get it. So if you want to infect the kids and get their mind share and really get them hooked on drugs and coke and aspartame and everything else like that, make sure you get them before the age of 7. By age 11, children were shown to be able to perceive situational bias as well as deliberate deception as possible explanations for what people have said. In short, at least by age 7, children can be cynical, recognizing that people's statements may be influenced by their own interests. Yet the 7-year-old's blindness to the unintentional bias of an explanation suggests that the full understanding of how self-interest influences people say and do develops over childhood. Now, to me, I find this to be really, really sad. You know, I think that we've got kids who no longer trust the adult population. There's kids who no longer trust society. And on one level, I mean, yeah, I guess that's good because society has become such an incredibly sick world. But I'm here to tell you, I just feel it'd be nice if we could just stop lying to the children, you know, if we could just be straight with them and stop trying to feed them, you know, bullshit like, I don't know, oh, you know, all the fictitious things, you know, stop trying to talk about Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, Jesus, Muhammad, you know, Buddha, all these guys, just fucking, you know, level with the kids, talk straight to them, because you know what, we're a little late in the day, to be trying to tell these kids fairy tales. The world is a scary place, and I know, yes, it's important to have a childhood, but rather than trying to fill their head with bullshit, why don't you just let them know that they are loved, and that's not bullshit, and they do have a home, and that's not bullshit, and they can have people who care about them, and they can live a good life, and have strong moral conviction and good critical thought. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, you know? After all, they're your kids. You may as well make your mark on your own children so that they can imprint off the more positive things in your own personality. Of course, I could be way the fuck off here, you know? What do I know? I don't have kids. Now, is it any wonder, though, why kids are cynical? Because this next story here on a noisemaker in the cyberpunk kit section really just kind of nails home why that is. Why is it that people are feeling the need to be slack? Why is it that there's such... You remember before it used to be like, if you're a hard worker, that was considered to be a good thing. Now it's considered to be a stupid thing to be a hard worker. And why is that? Because no matter how hard you work, it seems that the core political, all they will do is give you more work. This is the use and lose mentality that managers are using these days. If you're a young person and you work super, super hard, what they do is they suck you in, they work you as hard as you possibly can until you burn out, and then they fire your ass and hire somebody new to work them as hard as they possibly can. From a business standpoint, this is fantastic because you get the hardest working people imaginable, you get the most productivity, and the only one who really suffers is the poor bastard who can't maintain his workload. And that means that that's his fault, right? Because if he can't run at maximum burn for a maximum amount of time, then it's his own damn fault, right? Right? I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? No, of course not. That's ridiculous. You can't have people running at maximum burn time. And that's why people are learning how to be slack and goof off at work so they can handle the stress level of day-to-day society. Now, to help you with that, I got a noisemaker. High technology tricks, once seen as a purview of hackers, are now in the hands of ordinary people. I don't know about the hacker statement, but this is kind of spy-ish. Gadgets these days are full of surprises, not just the gee whiz sense of unexpected possibility, but also there's growing powers to manipulate or deceive. Simple tricks to allow one to be hard at work at the office while actually forwarding calls, emails, and instant messages to your mobile phone can backdate emails through rolling back a computer's built-in clock or use a background phone noises to concoct convincing excuses to not go to work. Instead of being a slave to technology, you can master it, and you can make it look like you're working when you are not, says Mark Saltzman, author of White Collar Slacker's Handbook, published in June. Now, also, We've all the actual gadget here is a noisemaker. I'm going to skip over. You can check this stuff out. But what's available is this little tiny keychain device, which is kind of funny. You know, I don't know how well it'll work. But the concept is you press a little button and the speaker makes background noises like traffic sounds and all this kind of stuff so that you can disguise your location where you're at. You know, I mean, everybody knows that if they've ever made a phone call where they don't want to look like they're on the road, they pull over to the side of the road and shut their car off, right? They turn the radio off so they've got that inside sound. And, of course, you want to pull off a side road so, you know, the car driving by doesn't give off any sound or whatever, depending on how sensitive your phone is. But you see what I mean? And this is just taking that deception one step further. I wonder if there will come a day when we will be able to take our phones, all these wonderful phones, and come up with a software suite that can mix in real time as we are talking on the phone. So you can, before you make a call, you press a bunch of keys, hit a button, and it tells you, you know, you say, I'm phoning what location, predetermined location would you like to phone from? I'd like to phone from, say, a rail yard. And so what happens is the phone automatically puts in subtle noises in the background of like a train, some crashing, you know, stuff like that, maybe a train whistle in the distance, sounds of something going over tracks. An accident scene could be another one. You could press a button and you'd be hearing sirens and crowd noises and people like that. You could be phoning from that location, phoning to work. Yeah, I've just been in an accident. I don't really know what's going on. I got to phone insurance. Act like you're all shocked out, you know. Say that there's other people. You have somebody come up and say, you've got to get off the phone, sir. It comes up, and every time it does it, it gets more and more intense so that, you know, they realize that you've probably been in an accident. You're shocked out. And you're phoning them in a fit of desperation, bleeding on the side of the highway, when in actuality, you're by the pool taking some well-deserved time off. That, to me, is a killer app for phones. So check this out and let your mind wander a little bit. Although this is kind of a glorified ad for a book, it does open the door to some interesting possibilities about how we can use social engineering to better our own lives. Now, also in the cyberpunk kit, now normally, you know, I don't like covering big car company stuff. But this one's pretty James Bond, considering it's, well, in the last movie, I think James Bond really even used a BMW. Now, the whole thing with Beamers, I gotta say, is that I kind of like the Beamers. Any company that offers bulletproof, you know, cars as a factory direct option, and now they have bulletproof cars and night vision goggles built into the car. I mean, that's pretty fucking wog. You really can't get past that. You know, that's pretty cool. Now, the problem is, of course, that the cars cost $1 billion, right? I mean, they're just disgustingly expensive. But I suppose, you know, it could be argued either way. But for the record, you know, I like a nice car. You know, what does it do? How well does it do it? If you were to, you know, stack up cars, like, you know, for this reason, I respect Porsches. I don't like the way a Porsche looks. But I, you know, I respect it because it's engineering-wise. You know what I mean? Same with the BMW. I don't know a hell of a lot about it, but they're nice. You know, they're nice-looking cars. I don't really know if they're worth it and all the rest of it, but check out this piece of kit they're installing. It might take some getting used to checking your dash to see something that looks more akin to those military helicopter infrared targeting tracking shots, but BMW has added night vision display in the new 7 Series models for evening driving. The QVGA 320x240 camera goes along with their new high beam assist feature, which monitors the road ahead for other vehicles and adjusts the high beams accordingly when no one is around. Wow. And scans up to 1,000 feet. Wow. In front of the vehicle, evenly swiveling horizontally with the headlights during turns. Too bad your alibi about watching TV while driving as you hit your neighbor's mailbox just got blown. Well, you know, It's a pretty interesting piece of kit. I don't know how that would be different than just having your headlights on. Could you turn your headlights off and still have the MBGs running? So, you know, if you wanted to avoid the cops or not let them get your plate number, you could just blow by them and your Beamer doing a million miles an hour, shut the lights off, and you've got MBG running dark. I mean, that's one way to do it. It's a pretty interesting idea. And further to that, running with this, how hard would it be to install this in your own vehicle? Maybe that's something I should do, you know, for patrolling. Maybe I should start, I'll just take some vehicle, you know, like, I don't know, something that's looks like a fancy car but isn't. Well, I mean, honestly, what's the difference between, like, a kit car now and, like, some exotic car? Now, these exotic cars, they have, like, you know, carbon fiber and all the rest of it. But it could be argued you could take yourself a Fiero, go completely aftermarket, do the work yourself, and for, like, $25,000, you could have, like, a $150,000 vehicle. I mean, you could totally James Bond one of these cars out. How crazy do you want to get with your body style? You can do some funky-ass shit with kit cars, man. You know, and after all, isn't that more kind of a woggy way? Because when you're done, you actually know what you got. This is one of the reasons why if I was going to build a kit car, my next step is to go look at helicopters. Now, I was looking at this thing. I think it's called a Scorpion Chopper. And these choppers are pretty hot, man. You get a two-man VTOL home-built helicopter, you know? You just order the plans, get all your tubular steel up, boom, 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 there you go. 750-pound payload built in your backyard. What the hell? Well, you got to get it licensed. Well, whatever. Whatever, man. I got a thing in my backyard that can fly at 100 miles an hour and carry a 750-pound payload. That's enough for me, all my kit, and a spine board to be custom mounted on the underside so I can pick up and do dock wagon stuff. You know, I mean, this is some really, really cool stuff. I enjoy that kind of jazz. Now, check this particular piece of software out. This is interesting, and I'd like to see more of this coming down the pipe, especially since we're already on this nice James Bond theme so far. In escape and evasion news, now this is a really cool program, and I would love, like, if I was going to have, you know, the big WOG central website where everyone could log in and get information and hack information and all the rest of that. I see is a web-based application charting the locations of closed-circuit television CCTV surveillance cameras in urban environments. So this web-based application shows you where all surveillance car cameras are in urban environments. Now, when you I'd like to cross this with Google Earth and maybe a few of the other ones where, you know, you get three real-time, maybe even augmented reality would be handy to cross with this. With IC, users can find routes that avoid these cameras. Paths of least surveillance. POLS. Poles. Paths of least surveillance. Allowing them to walk around their cities without being fear of being caught on tape by unregulated security monitors. Now, check this link out. IC is a brilliant concept. I think it only does Manhattan right now, but I could be wrong. You want to go down there and check it out, because if you're in a city and you want to check out how to walk around without showing up on camera, this is the app for you. Very WOG and very sexy altogether. Now, speaking of sexy, in sex news, now this is from Pravda, but, you know, there's something to this. Now, hear me out. Let me get through this. German scientists claim that regular sex makes people smarter. Now, when you think about it, I'll get through this and I'll comment on it. Everyone is aware that sex is a rather pleasant activity, hopefully, especially with someone you like and you're consenting. Scientists, as well, praise sex and discover more and more healthy advantages to it. Indeed, it is good for the body and apparently the soul, but last time I heard a scientist talk about the soul was quite a while ago. Incredibly healthy in all aspects. German scientists went even further, declaring that regular sex makes people smarter. Leading specialists from a medical research center in Hamburg managed to draw one such strange correlation between one's physical and intellectual capabilities. According to the author of such fascinating research study, Mr. Werner Haburnum, Dr. Hannibal, regular sexual intercourse has stimulated development of one's intellect. Well, that kind of makes a lot of sense, but I'll get back to this in a minute. However, you should not get carried away thinking that the possibility to get smarter simply by doing what you enjoy the most. Sex will not make you Einstein. Nonetheless, there is some truth to Hannibal's reasoning. The scientists claim that such substances as adrenaline and hydrocortisone, a hormone of the adrenal gland, are secreted in large quantities during foreplay and sexual intercourse. Together, these substances stimulate the gray matter of the brain, which in turn stimulates intellectual activity. So, what if we cross this story with the previous story? So, if they take this drug there, what do they have? What was it called? PG-15 or whatever the hell it was. It was called, where is it? Way up here on the page. It's called CPG-15. So, we take some CPG-15, right? And you get yourself, you know, a steady train of people who want to have sex. So you shoot yourself up full of the CPG-15, drop some ecstasy, and then dip yourself in honey and throw yourself to the hookers. Well, you know, in theory, you could metamorphosize yourself into, like, some sort of, like, weird quasi-sexual genius god. Now, that to me sounds a little weird. You know, I don't know if that would really work, but it does explain why a dominant, dominator religious structure would want to put a big taboo around sex, doesn't it? I mean, smarter apes are harder to control. So anything that actually makes the people smarter, no one really wants. Now, when you look at history, okay, all the major movers and shakers, all the people who've had, like, you know, all the really inventive artists and stuff like that, generally, it could be considered that they're kind of kinky. There's a lot of people who are very famous people in history who are homosexuals. And up until very recently, I mean like the last 50 years, homosexuals were considered to be massive sexual deviants. Why? Because, well, they like sex. You know, I mean, who doesn't like sex? But, you know, it was an unrecognized method of sexual intercourse. So they were like, oh, my God, they're dirty. But there's a number of people in history, like major composers and shit like that, who also happen to be gay. If you look at history, look at the major players, just names in the history books, a lot of them, it could be argued by the Christian right-wing suckers, that they were sexual deviants. And I wonder sometimes if there's some kind of a tie in there, like if the more you have sex or the more you, I don't know, or thinking in that way, you know, if you read a lot of erotica and stuff like that, does that actually stimulate the brain in ways that other people don't stimulate their minds? Does that get you to think outside of a box? Does that help you get a better grasp of self? I don't know. I don't know these questions, but they're interesting questions, and you can't deny the trend. Now, I'm going to go off here on some cyberpunk kit. I am forever getting people asking me about knives because knives are fucking cool, okay? And quite often on this show, I usually review knives and gear and cyberpunk kit that other people know a little bit about. I'm not really up on a lot of technological trend stuff. I know what I know. And I try to add to that all the time. So this review here is, I've looked around online, I found some stuff. And this is kind of a cyberpunk kit review of a knife. Now, thing is that there is no one ultimate knife. A knife is like a hammer, okay? In that, there are 100,000 different kinds of hammers. There's drywall hammers, there's finishing hammers, there are rock hammers, there are mining hammers, there's sledgehammers, there's carpentry hammers, flaming hammers, framing hammers, there's war hammers. There's all kinds of hammers out there. The same thing can be said about a knife. There's a million different kind of knives. There's close quarter knives, there's folding knives, there's pocket knives, there's oh my God, like knives, there's no end to these tools that knives are. Now, it all depends on the right tool for the right job. Now, in today's society, there are a lot of people concerned about personal safety, okay? And ideally, it would be nice to be able to walk around because in the bladed world, okay, in the bladed world of combat, okay, we're going to talk about combat now, there can be little argument that the sword is king. And the sword is king because of range. Now, it could be argued you could get into pole arms and stuff like that, but we're not really in the kind of society where people can walk around with pole arms. We are in a society where a person could walk around with a sword, you know, do the blood thing, buy yourself an arc tube, you know, where you keep your drawings and throw your samurai sword in there. And then, you know, you could walk around carrying this art roll of documents and no one would know you're carrying around a sword. That's one way to conceal it. Now, the thing is, though, that becomes a little difficult. You always got to carry around this tube and you got a sword and all the rest of it. So stepping down into the realm of the knife. Now, this is purely for the rapture I'm talking about here. We're only talking about, you know, terrorists attack. You know, you got a bunch of suicide bombers. You've been diagnosed with cancer, hepatitis A, B, and C, and AIDS. You've decided that all your family has killed themselves, and you have yourself decided that you are going to engage these terrorists because you have nothing to lose, and you know for certain you can take them out without anyone innocent getting hurt and doing all that good Batman stuff. This, of course, is a completely unfeasible you know, scenario. I don't want anybody going out ever trying to take on anybody or any of that kind of crap. But let's be real. We are all adults here. There is nothing wrong with defending yourself or your household. The problem is that quite often, if you get caught walking around with a weapon, people go, why do you have that weapon? This is crazy. I don't know why people do this. But if you have a knife or a tomahawk or something like that, people go, why do you carry that? Well, why the fuck do you think I carry this? You know, why do you think I carry this? Why do you think I carry a knife, huh? Because it's a tool. Now, we're in the realm of Bowie knives. Bowie knives are American fighting knives, okay? So what I'm going to cover this particular cyberpunk kit, without getting into my usual diatribe, I'm going to talk about Bowie knives. And in the realm of Bowie knives, there is an actual Bowie knife style of fighting. There's a whole culture around this. And in my advances around the web, I look at a lot of different custom knife makers and stuff like this. And I found one dude who, whether or not his knives are the best, you have to look at what he does and the kind of person that he is. And you know for a fact that this guy, judging by his history and how he acts, this isn't a dude who drives a BMW and, you know, is looking for, you know, the profit margin on his knives. This is a guy who spends a lot of time making blades, and he pays for it, too. We're in the $1,000 range for some of these knives, all right? And this is what you're expecting to pay for really, really high-speed knives. And the one knife maker I'm going to talk about here, probably one of the top Bowie knife makers in America, is this dude named, Key is his name. And I'm going to read what one review said about him here. Master Key is in one knife in particular, is a pure fighting-slash-killing knife, is the Merc. Now, I've seen this knife. This is quite the blade. The blade was specifically designed for sentry removal slash silent killing in CQB, close quarters battle applications. It is In the design of the knife, Shiva received input, which Shiva is the dude. Shiva Key is the guy who, I guess he's the nut who makes these things. And he's actually, I think, changed his name legally to Shiva Key. Shiva Key received input from professional mercenaries, soldiers, and army rangers. Blade length on the knife is usually between 7.5 to 9 inches. That's blade length only, depending on the customer's preference. The Merc has an armor-piercing point, which is a nice way of saying a strong point, and a three-quarter sharpened back clip, making it look like a slimmed-down Bowie-style fighter. The blade is very sleek and graceful-looking with flowing lines. It's hollow ground and features a pointed pommel for non-lethal or striking techniques. The Mercs I've seen in pictures so far are either made with desert ironwork or African water buffalo horn handles. I would go with ironwood because it's heavier and therefore balances out the blade. The two most common steels for this knife seem to be either Clay Temple 1095 or Shiva Key's Samurai Steel. Now, when people start talking about Samurai Steel, that usually makes me go, whoa, because there's no such thing as Samurai Steel. Okay, Samurai Steel, that's just bullshit, okay? It's folded steel. If one needs a sneak up on the enemy quietly and take him out knife, the Merc is probably the way to go. It's a technician's knife designed to be used with surgical precision when speed, surprise, and silence are all mission-critical elements. And as well, you know, from serious collectors, this would be, like, of all the Bowie knives I've seen online, including now the cost-effective one I would recommend, is if you can't afford something like this, I would look at the Angkola Bowie, okay, made by Himalayan Imports. They make a Bowie knife. It's a very, very strong blade. And Bowie knives are generally for the point where you've got it in a position where, you know, you're seriously looking for the shit. You pull out a Bowie knife, man, it's fucking on. All right? This is where when, you know, you're on the Harley and you're driving through the desert kind of a thing. This is very, very after now. This is not an urban tool. Anybody who did have one of these knives and wished to carry it with them, you would have to carry it in your backpack because this is just a little bit too big to be carrying in day-to-day life. But for me, when it comes to actually a functional combat blade in the realm of Bowie knives, you wanted the goods, I deliver the goods. That's my review, and that would be the knife I would choose as a Bowie knife if cost was not a factor. If cost was a factor, I would go with the Himalayan Imports blade. Now, in robot combat news, speaking of, look at how everything, you know, easily everything flows. You like that? You like how easily everything flows? In robot combat news, the Defense Agency Research Institute plans, I think that's DARPA, to produce two prototype... Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is actually... Sorry, I don't have this here. This is from Japan. Japan is getting into the robot combat sort of field, which I am very excited to see this. People are like, well, so what, Sean? It's just another unmanned drone. No. This is the Japanese drone planes. Listen to this. The Defense Agency of Japan Research Institute plan to produce two prototype high-altitude, long-endurance, unmanned reconnaissance aircraft by fiscal 2012. Ooh, scary year. At a total cost of 22 billion yens in hopes of domestically manufacturing the planes instead of importing them from the United States. So they're going to take the United States tech and ramp it the fuck out. The agency's Technical Research and Development Institute believes it's necessary to acquire independent technology or unmanned aerial systems as a foundation for development of unmanned combat aircraft and other planes in the future. Macross Plus much? Agency sources said long-endurance unmanned aircraft are capable of simultaneously carrying out radars and optical sensors and have extended loiter capability at high altitudes over a target area. Not to mention, if you were to make ones that had, like, guns on them, you could have, like, a Hornet-style swarming drones, because that's what I think is going to happen. When these unmanned drones get more and more popular, instead of making one gigantic uber kick-ass desert fighting plane or whatever, they're going to make a couple of hundred of these smaller planes that have guns or maybe small inexpensive missiles on them to higher numbers so that rather than having one plane, they have a Hornet version of, like, hyper-intelligent drones that swarm a target and will, like, go through the streets and fly around and kill everything. I mean, how can you fight against 200 four-foot-long robots that have, you know, a couple of hundred 22 long-range rounds on them that can fire them off at really, really hyper-accuracy as they fly by doing, you know, 400 miles an hour? This is something that, with a little bit of vision, you can see how this could be applied. And in Desert War news, listen to this story. This story is fucking insane. Okay, and there's video to go with this. So this is a true story. I thought, when I saw this, I thought, okay, you know what? This has got to be some serious FUD here. But, you know, you want to talk about what being a soldier is all about. You want to talk about being, you know, a lot of people think that being a soldier is all about, you know, fighting and killing. You know, that thing with the knife there. But listen to this. A soldier survives a sniper attack, and then he captures and medically treats the sniper who caught him. During a routine patrol in Baghdad on June 2nd, Army Private, First Class, Stephen Schneider, and I hope I'm saying his name right, who's a medic, was shot in the chest by an enemy sniper hiding in a van just 75 yards away. And the sniper videotaped it. Okay, so you, when you watch the video, you get the two Islamofascist jihadist fucks shooting at the American. The incident was filmed by the insurgents. I can't believe this. Schneider, with E Troop, 101st Sabre Cavalry Division, was attacked at 3rd Battalion, 156th Infantry Regiment, 256th Brigade Combat Team, 3rd Infantry Division, was knocked to the ground from the impact, but he popped right back up, took cover, and located the enemy's position. Apparently, he caught one in the dome, too. It came off the helmet. After tracking down the now-wounded sniper with a team from B Company, 4th Battalion, 1st Iraqi Army Brigade, Schneider secured the terrorist with a pair of handcuffs and gave medical aid to the terrorist who tried to kill him just minutes before. What a fucking wog. That is what being a soldier is all about. Now, there's a certain point where you look at that and go, you know, because when you watch the video, the son of a bitch shoots him, and you can hear his buddy going, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, trying to deal with the stress of killing another human being. Okay, this is pretty stressful shit. So, you know, when you look at this and you got the... And it just makes... The thing that makes me so furious is it shows you the mentality of these jihadist fucks. You know? I don't really want to get onto this all that much, but, you know, if only 10% of the Muslim population of the world, if only 10% are hardcore jihadists, that's still 120 million people, man. There's a lot of people out there who buy into the worshiping the rock thing, and I'm here to tell you, I don't know what the solution is going to be, but when you watch this video and you see how these guys are reacting, these aren't like a few lone nuts here. Okay, even if 10% of the Muslim population in the world, there are only 10% are hardcore psychos, that's 120 million people. That's a lot of people. Even if they're scattered out all over the world, let's say they're in 120 different locations, shit, let's break it down even further than that, you know? Like, that's a lot of cells, any way you cut that. That's kind of some frightening shit. Now, on to today's Daily Hack. The 46 best ever freeware utilities thanks to the Boon. There's a lot of great freeware products out there. Many as good or even better than their commercial alternatives. This list features the article's writers, not my own personal, but my personal pick of the best of the best. All these utilities in the list have been featured on past issues of Support Alert. More freebies are featured every new issue. If you're interested in great utilities and freeware, then you should really consider checking it out. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. And they are Forley, Weblight, Alan, Drew, Weissimaru, Drake, Jesse, Robert, Grey Ghost, Art, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noob, Kevin, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jonathan, Brandon, Burger No Fries, Mainframe, and Nominate, Matt, Jennifer, Matthew, Charles, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, Brandon, and Michael. New subscribers for the month of June 2005 were Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenley. Thank you so much, guys, for being new subscribers. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please, please, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Running out of books, too, by the way. If you still want to pick up one of my copies of The Bloodstained Rabbit, please ignore all spelling and grammar errors and hope you enjoy the story. It's good for a couple hours if you want to pick one up. Thanks much. And that's all I got for you today. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance for gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out the album by Mellotron called Sternestaub. S-T-E-R-N-E-N-S-T-A-U-B. Sternestaub. I'm brutal with the German. I'm going to leave you now with a new Public Enemy track called Plastic Nation. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I need liposuction. Under my chin. Well, everywhere. I hate the bump on my nose. I hate my breasts. And my stomach has stretch marks. They make me sick. I'd like those to go away. Been saving up my money for
when she tried to get her face erased like it was commonplace. Maybe just crazy because the doctor said she could. With new hips and tits, maybe full of lips. All it take a day is a pay for the tuck and nip. All the hoover would move her. By the time it was through her, whole body would look the way she thought it should. To take a splatter of fat and move from this to that. Like Frankenstein, but blind because it's in her mind. Don't know what she felt or why she hated herself. Maybe dolls or shows or maybe videos. Now it's plain to see the girl loves TV because she's chasing a dream we know can never be. We're all part of the plan to keep her looking right. Figured she could be Janet if she took the knife. It's not a sin to be fancy, trying hard to fit in, knowing soon she'll be a citizen of the plastic nation.
Tell me what you don't like about
yourself. I want to change my face.
I want to change my body.
I want to change my body.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
It would be so... It would
wait.
Be so...
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
And I want to change my body.
I want to change my body.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
It would be so... Wait.
Now she was more crazy than lazy since she had a baby. Trying to move and improve upon what God gave her. God just gave like this her. One, she thought she had it going on, but never once thought it was wrong or that it wouldn't save her. Went to the clinic, was in it for over half a day. Asked they sliced and diced to put the parts in place. Her body bruised, abused, cause her mind's confused. Been on living a lie, but never satisfied. And you know it ain't right, that's somebody's daughter. Somebody's now daughter. Her face is so tight that you could bounce a quarter. And the feeling they back, they said it'll never be back. She's a creature with features broken. Out of order. That's why we try to find a way to get inside and make you love your life and never need a knife. It's not a sin to be thin. Don't need to bleed to fit in. Now she's another citizen of the plastic nation.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
And I want to change my body.
I want to change my body.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
It would be so... It would
wait.
Be so...
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
And I want to change my body.
I want to change my body.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
It would be so... Wait, so... I need liposuction.
I'd like bigger calves.
I need liposuction.
And I'd also like to go pee see cause...
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
Maybe I could have her ear. Maybe I could have her ear. And I like her nose.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
Because they don't stick out like ours do, see?
It's...